Today I want to read to you from the book of Ecclesiastes. It's commonly thought of that Solomon is the one who wrote this. The book in the Hebrew is designated to a person called Koheleth. That's the name that's used in Hebrews, in the Hebrew language. So listen to these words. They're probably familiar to you, but I think it's a good time for us to listen to these words from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people to do than to be happy and to do good while they live. That each of them may eat, drink, and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Time. Time, seasons, an understanding of having the right things at the right time. I don't know who first introduced me to the Old Farmer's Almanac. It was probably my grandfather. I have used the Old Farmer's Almanac since I was probably as young as 10 or even younger. And I have pored through it every year and looked through all the different things that are in here, the calendars, everything. And I read all the ads too, by the way, because some of the ads are quite interesting. But there's not anything in here I miss. And each year I've got to have a copy of this. And it has to be this Farmer's Almanac, not any other one, because there are many others out there. It has to be the Old Farmer's Almanac by Robert B. Thomas. I don't want any other one. And it also has to have a hole through it. Those of you that have never had one, it has a hole through it so you can hang it on a nail in your shed. That's why the hole is there, so it's easy access. It has weather in it, and it predicts the weather for every month of the year. It has wonderful articles. It has wonderful recipes. It has calendars. I can tell you one year, I always got the copy, and it was this way for years. The only copy they printed was with the times in it for Boston. And then you had to make adjustments for the sunrise and sunset, moonrise, moonset, everything else by the charts that were in here. Now all I have to do is look down at my watch, and my watch says that tonight the sun's going to set at 5:17. I don't have to make those adjustments anymore. But then one year they decided they were going to put this out and make it a little bit more accessible for people in the South. And so they did all the times by Atlanta. And I hated it. Because I didn't want that change, okay? I hated it because I was used to knowing some of the changes from Boston to where I lived in Virginia Beach and Norfolk. I will tell you this. 1 year, when we first bought a house after we were married, I planted my garden by what this suggested. For everything above the ground, you plant during the light of the moon, as the moon grows bigger in light. And for everything below the ground, you plant as the moon gets darkened in that phase. We had more things come out of my garden than we could use. We planted it exactly when it said to. Now, I have not learned how to do that here because I haven't made all the adjustments for here. Okay? I knew it for Virginia Beach and Norfolk, and I almost knew it by the back of my hand when the right time was. Now, I know that people say, well, that's silly. No, it's not. Is that not what the Scripture says? There is a right time for everything. By the way, in case you're wondering, this will also tell you the right time to have surgery. What part of the month to schedule your surgery. It goes right into all kinds of things. And the one thing that I always did, just as an aside for you, is it always has some wonderful puzzles in it. And I would spend months working on those puzzles because some of them were far beyond what I could figure out. But it was a joy just to take some time and sit down and try to figure these puzzles out that are printed in here. I would tell you, I highly recommend this. I always make sure I have a copy. And it normally sits next to where I sit at night so that I can glance at it from time to time. Just a wonderful trove of information that I've been reading. I find it very hard to believe. I've been reading for over 50 years. Wish I had kept all the ones that I had, because there are some valuable, valuable information from year to year that they have. Well, as we look to this coming year, I want us to pause and to think about time. I want us to pause and think about time. Now, in the Greek language, I'm not so sure in the Hebrew it's this way, but in the Greek language, there's two words for time. One of those words is chronos. Okay? I don't know if you know, but watches used to be called chronometers before they were called watches. Okay? It means time. As time passes, how time passes. The other word in the Greek language for time is kairos. And kairos is what I want to talk about today. Kairos is the appropriate time, the right time, the season for doing something. Okay? So really, I could read the scripture with that in mind and say there's a season to be born and a season to die. There's a season for planting and a season for uprooting. Okay? That's what's being talked about here. And I want us to think about that concept of time. Not time by the watch. Not time by the clock. I want us to think about, is it the right season for doing something? One thing I do know about time is that we can use time however we desire. Every person can use time however they desire, but then it's gone. You can't get it back. You can use time the way you want to. You can schedule your day however you want to and do whatever you want to during your day and make decisions on how you're going to use that time. There's whole studies called time management and understanding how to use time appropriately and rightly. I think there's some value in understanding that. One of the things that my mentor did in college as I became a Christian and he was teaching me in discipleship, and I encourage people to do this. There is 168 hours during the week, every week. Everybody gets the same amount of time. Okay? You don't get any more than I do. There's 168 hours. I would encourage you sometime to take a piece of paper and write down 168. And then, give or take, say you sleep 7 hours a night, 7 nights that week. That's 7 times 7, which is 49. Subtract that from 68. Subtract the time that it takes you to drive back and forth places. Subtract the time that, if you're still working, that you're at work. So subtract the time that you want to do other things, but don't forget about, subtract the time for preparing meals, eating meals, and cleaning up for meals. When Andy asked me to do this, I was in college. So the preparing of meals and cleaning up for meals, I didn't have to worry about at that time. That was the cafeteria. As I started subtracting the time, I ended up with a negative number. And almost everybody that I've asked to do that also ends up with a negative number. Because we try to compact too many things into the time that we have in a week. And once it's spent, you can't get it back. And I am very thankful that there are not 25 hours in a day. Just because there's one more hour doesn't mean I'm going to use that any more appropriately than I did the other 24. I don't need another hour. I need to understand there's a right season for everything. You see, this passage says that. There is a right season for all activities. All. And we can make a choice as to what we use that time for. Say you set out something for you to say, this year I'm going to read my Bible through from beginning to end. Now I want to let you know, that is a much simpler task than most people understand. If you read 3 chapters of the Bible every day and 5 on Sunday, you will read the whole Bible through in a year. 3 chapters each day. That's all you've got to do. For most chapters, 3 chapters is going to take you less than 20 minutes. Just to read it. I'm not talking about studying it. Just to read it. But now you've got to make time in your day for doing that. And you've got to decide that I'm going to do that. And make a decision that you're going to do it every day. Because as this passage says, there's a right season for all activities. There is a right season for all activities. I want you to think about some of the things that it says here. And yeah, I'm probably meddling now as I say these things. Okay? Just give me that. I'm meddling. Because there's a right season. I'm going to pick out some of these. There's a right season to plant. And there's a right season to uproot plants. There's a right season to tear down. And there's a right season to build. There's a right season for weeping. And there's a right season for laughing. There's a season for mourning, grieving, and there's a time for dancing. There's a time to search, and there's a time to give up. Think about that. Scripture says there's a time to give up. There's a time to keep, and there's a time to throw away. Can I say that one again? There's a time to keep things, and there's a time to throw away things. Okay? One of the things that in the past couple of years that I have been very principled in, I'll admit it, I'm going to confess to you today, I have thrown away a lot of Sunday school material in the past 2 years that went back 5, 10, 15 years just sitting in stacks in places in this church. And every time I mention something about it, somebody, oh, well, we're saving those to give to somebody. Well, let's find somebody to give them to then. And nobody ever could find anybody to give them to that wanted them. There's a time to keep and a time to throw away. Remember that, please. There's a time to keep and a time to throw away. There's a time to be silent and a time to speak. Contrary to popular belief, just because you think it doesn't mean you got to say it. Sometimes it's better to hold your words instead of to speak them. It's knowing when the right season is. There's a time for love, and Scripture says there's a time for hate. There's a time for war and a time for peace. I want to ask you to think about this year. Keep this thought in mind. What is it the right time for right now? What is it the right season for right now? Okay? I know it makes absolutely no sense for me to go home today and plant tomato plants outside. Right? I'm not going to get tomatoes any earlier than anybody else by planting them outside today. It's not the right season. Folks, the same thing happens in our lives. Sometimes it's not the right season. Now let me go back to one thing that Solomon does say in this passage. He says sometimes there's a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. But he also says that there's a time for us to be working on our relationship with God. That's one of the things this whole book says, is to be happy about our lives and to live in such a way that we are looking towards God. What do workers gain for their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its season. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Are you working to know how God has set time in motion? Are you working to understand how God says now is the right season for something? And I want to encourage you as you go back, and I hope you will, take that 168 hours and assess your week. How much of that time do you give to your relationship with God? Church people love to talk about tithing, don't they? We need to tithe. We need to give. People should be tithing their income. And then we get into big, long debates. Is that before or after taxes? I want to ask you this. Are you tithing your time to God? If there's a right season for everything, is there not part of our day that should be given to God? If there's 168 hours in the week, are you giving 16.8 hours to your relationship with God? Are you? If you're not, I would encourage you to examine how you use your time. I don't know for sure because I gave up watching sports a few years ago, but I'm sure there's probably a football game today, right? Is there? About a dozen. What happens if you take the first quarter and don't watch it, but instead sit down with your Bible? Which one's of more eternal value? How important is your relationship with God? For many, many years, I watched NASCAR races religiously. I can't say anything else other than that. Religiously. I explained to them when they were supposed to pit. I explained to them what tires they were supposed to change. I explained to them how much gas they should take on if it was towards the end of the race. I explained all that to them. You know what I found out? They don't listen to me. I could have helped them win the race if they would listen to me. But they don't listen to me. Even when you show up, they don't listen to you. I've been to Bristol to watch truck races. They don't listen to you when you tell them, hey, look, just two tires this time, guys. Two tires. You can make it the rest of the way. Folks, it would be okay to miss part of anything if you're working on your relationship with God. Because the score after the first quarter of a football game is going to be the same score whether you watch it or not. You cannot influence it. Now, if you think you can, please stop by my office this week. I want to talk about that. Because I have a list of things that I want you to influence that need to be done in our community and in our country and in our world. I don't think you can influence it. But you can influence how you grow in your relationship with God. You see what Solomon tries to tell us is that when activities are done in the right season, then we're able to find satisfaction in living life. When activities are done in the right season, then we're able to find satisfaction in living life. We're able to have some happiness. We're able to have some understanding about how God has prepared things for the right time and the right seasons. I know some of you might say that this is a bunch of hogwash. But there's something about the seasons of the year. There's something about how the moon does influence plants. There's something about how this works. There's something about how they're able to predict the weather so accurately, sometimes even more accurately than the weatherman that's watching it every week with all of his computer programs. Yes, it did say we were supposed to have a cold, snowy weekend last weekend, in case you're wondering. I looked it up to make sure. But Scripture says that God has made everything for its season. What season is it for you? And what should you have as the top priority of this season for your life? So I want to ask you to think about this question. This year, will you do things in the right season? Will you do things in the right season? There's a benefit to doing it in the right season. Whether it's speaking or being quiet, whether it's building or tearing down, planting or uprooting, there's a season. Will you consciously take some time this year to decide when the right season is to do things? And do those things in the right season, so that it might be beneficial to you, to this church, and to this community that God has placed us in. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you acknowledging that you have set something in motion in this world. And that there are times that it's the right for doing things. And Lord, sometimes we make decisions to do things and it's just not the right season. And things don't go well. Give us that discernment. Give us that ability to know when the right season is, that we might grow deeper in a relationship with you, that we might grow deeper in a relationship with those in this community of faith, and that, Lord, we might be able to share at the right time for people who don't know you, for them to be able to respond, so that we might see more people coming into the kingdom of God. So Lord, please, give us the guidance and the discernment and the wisdom we need to know when the right season is for things, so that we truly can be a witness to your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.